You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the Diamond District bonus hour on this tremendous sports day. Opening day in Major League Baseball. The Sweet 16 and the madness resumes. And it's 2 weeks today, the Masters. If you missed it, by the way, virtually our entire 7 o'clock hour was a conversation that we recorded after our show yesterday with Vern Lundquist. Go download it. That whole MillerandMoulton.com thing. It's a thing. It works. Download it.
And we posted it uninterrupted, too. I mean, it's just a nice, the whole conversation as we heard it yesterday.
So there you go. And then we just talked with Kyle Seeloff and Andy Freed, the radio voices of the Marlins and Rays, respectively. Opening day, baby, in 7 hours. You ever go to opening day?
I don't think I have ever been to an opening day, David. In fact, I know I haven't.
Yeah, I don't think I have either, come to think of it. I will say I've played hooky from work, though. No doubt about it. Oh, madness. Opening day? Absolutely. I've taken paid days off from work.
Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping MLB TV has a free week preview because I don't know if I'm ready to jump in yet.
Really? I thought you bought the package.
I hadn't bought it yet. It's coming. But
so
see,
you're all talk is what you're saying?
You no.
You got a little cold feet? What? You're just not...
I was persuaded by a few people in our Twitch chat room saying, wait a week, they'll lower the price. And I'm cheap.
Ah, got it.
With certain things. Certain things, I'll just spend it as fast as I have it.
Right.
I mean, like the bets I've already made on tonight's NCAA games. I mean, that's
sure.
That's fine.
Done.
Let's go.
Right, right. Iowa State, Illinois, you know, just there's no limit. But, you know, the MLB package, I'm going to wait a week.
By the way, this is the dichotomy of Miller and Moulton because Mark is waiting them out for the cheap, and David is paying for Peacock, and he doesn't even use it because he doesn't know how to get on.
Right. Exactly. I've got Apple TV, Peacock. I got three things I'm paying for that I've never used. Right. Exactly. Please. They're installing this new wireless internet, whatever, in the condo building, and they're like, you could go to this. It'd be a lot cheaper. I go, oh, I have no doubt it'd be a lot cheaper. But, you know, I need to know what I'm getting, when I'm getting it, and I'll pay $8,000 more a month for it. Okay, that's it. Well, no, you could save. I know I could save. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just not buying your product.
You know, David, I play golf with a lot of older guys because that's who plays golf. And you would fit in so well with them because yesterday we were having a conversation about cutting the cord. And one of the guys actually has cut the cord. And the other two guys were looking at us as if we had three heads. What cut? What are you talking? YouTube TV,
right.
What are you talking about?
Right. Why? That's my argument. My argument is why. I know where everything is. Okay? Everything works. Fine, I'm paying a ton of money for it. I'm getting what I paid for. It works. What?
You can record things. You can go to the DVR. I mean, for certain people, it's a lot more. That just makes more sense. My
this
dad's one of
like,
those people.
This would be like if you're selling food. I'd be that customer in which, you know, the blind taste test, okay? And they'd have what I like, and then they'd have their version of it. And their version of it, I would actually, in the blind taste test, eat it and think it's better. I'd go, oh, I like this one. And they go, well, that's ours. You've been settling for over here. And then look at the price. Ours is $4 less, okay? And I'd go, that's great. Good luck. Congratulations. They go, well, you're going to switch obviously to us. No, I'm singing with that one right over there. Oh, why would I switch to you? Well, we're better and we're cheaper. So you say.
Not used to you. I'm not used to you. Therefore, I'm not crossing over.
You know, I mean, you know, I can pay my bills. If I get to the point where I'm selling plasma, I'll make the switch. Okay. But until then, I'm going to stick with it.
You leaving the house for opening day today?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
How bummed are you that your game
oh my
I mean, how, because it happened, what, yesterday they announced it, right?
Yes, yesterday afternoon they announced the Mets and the Phillies home openers already postponed because of the weather. It just made me angrier because of what we talked about 24 hours ago. I mean, how moronic do you have to be if you're the Major League Baseball offices? It's like getting a hamburger for half price. It's better than the one that you have and continuing to eat the one that you normally eat. I digress. I mean, how do you not schedule the Mets and Brewers in Milwaukee? They've got a roof. It's March 28th. Phillies Braves. Oh, I don't know. One city's 1,000 miles south of the other. Where would you schedule the game? Let's schedule it in Philly. Morons. Come on. What are you doing? Not only that, think about it, Mark. There's like two big days in baseball before the playoffs. Opening day and the All-Star game. So you got to get the opening day right.
Well, they quit getting opening day right a long time ago. And I know we tried to get Kyle Seelaff to agree with us on opening day being pushed back. And he's like, no. And I get it. He's a baseball guy. More baseball, earlier baseball. That's. But for the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not.
The Tuesday, to me, it should be the Tuesday after the National Championship Day. If they want to do it Monday, National Championship Monday, that's fine too.
So you're saying like mid-April almost.
Well, first off, Trent, Jackie Robinson's Major League debut, which was opening day of the 47 baseball season, was April 15th. And so, you know, just slowly it's been moved up. But yeah, up until, what was it, a half dozen years ago? I mean, it's almost a this decade thing. I mean, the season never started. Every now and then, the Sunday night baseball game, that was ESPN did that for 10 years. Sunday night baseball was the first game of the year. And a couple of them were on March 31st. But usually, it was the first Monday of April. That's when the Major League Baseball season opened. Whenever that was. It could be the first. It could be all the way to the seventh. That's when the season opened.
What you guys are saying does make way more sense. Like, why? Just, and I think the reason they do it, correct me if I'm wrong, is it because they don't want the season going too late? They don't want World Series games in November?
Well, and also, they don't do doubleheaders anymore. And in negotiations with the union over the years, the players have tried to say, can we get a few more days off?
And they are. So they're getting, I mean, right. There's a raised schedule right in front of me. The number of Mondays that they don't play is a lot more than I think you would expect. Number of Thursdays that they have off is a lot more than you would expect.
And so that's why they have to continue, because once again, we're still at 162. You know, we haven't gotten to the expanded playoffs, which Miller and Moulton believe will happen once they expand and go to 32 teams. We think then Major League Baseball is going to look like hockey in the NBA. We think we're going to end up with 16 playoff teams, 8 in each league. And we're just going to have 3 playoff series before the World Series. Best of 5, best of 5, best of 7. Let's go. And at that point, they may have to shorten the season by 4 to 8 games. May. They won't want to, but they may have to. But I'll be honest with you, my earliest opening day memory, you know, as a fan, it was Seaver for the Mets in like 74, 75. You know, I was 8 or 9 years old. But I remember opening day in Little League. I don't know about you guys, but we marched in a parade. And there was one game. I was in the Ford's Little League, which was a neighboring town to where I grew up in Edison. And I don't know why I was in the Ford's Little League, but I was. And we had a parade. And we would march, and I mean, it's not a short parade either. And we marched through town, and people lined up on both sides, all right? And then we marched to the main fields. And then one 9- and 10-year-old team, or game, one 11 and 12, and one 13 and 14. They had 3 fields, and there was one game of each. And one year, Mark, we got selected, my team, which was never a good team. We got selected to play in the game. It was a BFD.
That's really cool. I'd love to mock you right now for this, but everything that you said sounds
very neat.
And yes, and it great, sounds really neat.
And great and experience for the kids, too.
Trust me, I can tell you, I never participated in an opening day parade. They never had any of those. And I, you know, the little town I was a couple communities over from Saginaw where I grew up, they didn't have that. I don't know if the Saginaw Little League had it or the Township Little League. We sure as hell didn't have it.
And we all had to get dressed up in our uniforms. So we're all marching in uniform.
In fact, David, I think the first two baseball teams I played on in Little League, we just got shirts. You know, it wasn't even the full uni.
Oh,
you were still wearing wearing your jeans.
Oh, you didn't have the stirrups?
No.
Oh, come on.
7 and 8 baseball, I played for Bailey's Construction. And that was the coach, of course, who sponsored the team.
Sure.
And I can see the picture. I can see the team photo. And we were wearing, you know, our jeans. And then it wasn't until I made it to the 9-11 or 10-11-12 league or whatever it was, the next league, that was a big deal. Because then we got the unis when I was playing for Don Bailey Drugs.
Gotcha.
The team names are just...
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Which sponsor spent more money? Which sponsor was the better sponsor?
Oh, the drugstore. We had the full-on unis for the drugstore. We looked good.
So you were an upper market team. You were like the Braves, the Phillies team.
And Oakland A's colors, green and gold, green and yellow. They looked sharp. They were sharp unis.
We were the Indians. I played on the Indians all through, you know, Babe Ruth, Little League, whatever it was, 5-6 years. Yeah.
Were you a catcher?
You're damn right. I was a fat kid. Okay. Okay, that's they put you behind the plate. Absolutely. Right. It was a non-athletic position. Right. I mean, it's such back, you know what, thinking. I mean, we did it in hockey. Put the fat kid in goal. It takes up more space. Maybe the puck will hit him. You actually need somebody who's athletic who can move. Nah, just cover up space.
Honest to God, the reason I asked is because the way your brain works, David, you're so I just think you'd be a great catcher. You call a great game.
I loved it. Nobody wanted to catch, and I would have.
And I played catcher for a few years. It's how I got in practice. I would catch, and the catcher hated catching in practice because he had to. So I started catching in practice and morphed into the position because I ended up being okay at it. But I'm with you. Loved it.
And as you could imagine with my personality, I was very much like Costner in Bull Durham. Okay. Pitchers, and you throw what I put down. That's my buddy. He can't hit a curveball. I know your curveball sucks, but it's better than his swing. Throw the curve. Yeah. I was a charmer even then.
Miller and Moulton. Little League stories. Oh, boy. On opening day. Thanks for listening.
21 minutes past the hour. Opening day in Major League Baseball. Sweet 16 tonight. Women's tourney back tomorrow. Miller and Moulton. MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Our poll question involves the star of the women's tournament, Caitlin Clark, the biggest star in basketball right now, at least college hoop. Right? I mean, there's nobody.
Absolutely.
Tournament's a bigger deal than Caitlin Clark, right?
No, it's one of those years where there's no Zion, there's no Wemby.
No. So, who's it? Ice Cube?
Yes.
He's a co-owner of the Big Three
Yes.
League. And $5 million they've offered Caitlin Clark to play in their league. $5 million. They play, what, 10 games?
10 games.
All on Saturdays, I think?
Yep.
And, it would conflict a little bit with the WNBA season, but it's $5 million. Her salary for the Indiana Fever, $76,535 this year. When she gets picked by them, number one. Fortunately, she gets, raises. By year four, she'll be making $97,582. Not bad for a summer gig, I got to be honest. But still, not $5 million.
No, it's not. And the endorsements will come to her either way.
Mm-hmm. So if you're Caitlin, though, our poll question, do you take the money? Yeah, it's $5 million. Or no, this could go badly.
3 of 4, you say take the money.
I will say I think this would be wildly entertaining as a sports fan because I'm going through these teams, by the way. Do you know some of the coaches in the Big Three? Charles Oakley, George Gervin, Gilbert Arenas, Gary Payton. These are the guys who are the coaches of these teams.
They're ceremonial coaches.
Oh, I know, but what I'm saying is I would love to see these coaches interact with Caitlin Clark and just kind of be like...
Here, Trent, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Because I know the answer for David, and I know the answer for me. So you're the only one left that I have to ask this question to. Have you ever watched a Big Three basketball game?
I have.
I have.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I stumbled upon it a year or so ago.
Stumbled upon it and stayed? Or, I mean, did you give it as much time as you give the UFL?
Oh, wow, that's a good one. Believe it or not, if my memory serves me correctly, I think I stayed with it longer than I normally stay with spring football.
Okay, I have not watched a second of Big Three basketball. And I love Ice Cube, for the record.
I haven't in years, but 2017 was when it started. And I think when it started, I watched a good amount of games because they were trying to get it. I think Allen Iverson was in the league. They were trying to get stars and names and people to watch. And, you know, this – I'm being – dead serious about this. The 3-on-3 game is interesting, at least for me. You know, I'm a basketball fan, so I'm intrigued by the 3-on-3 half court.
I loved it used to be called the Gus Macker a generation ago.
Yes,
it was
still
a 3-on-3 national tournament, and you played for money. Okay. I loved it. Loved watching it.
They still have the Gus Macker.
Thought it was funny, or it's fun, I should say. So... But this can go badly. I mean, she's playing against men.
Yes.
And she has to play with the guy's ball. It's bigger.
So they're bigger.
And in theory, she's not going to shoot it as well as she normally does. Well, what's one of the most appealing, if not the most appealing part of her game? Her shooting. So this could go badly.
She's the female Steph Curry. She is.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if she goes out and can't shoot, what happens to her endorsements? She goes out and they're blocking her shots. What happens? She gets the $5 million. And she can always go to the WNBA after.
So could you argue almost that it could mess up her shot with the men's ball? I mean,
I don't think so.
Your form is your form.
Okay, okay. I'm just saying, like, that's another reason that she might not want to do it.
I don't think so. But this may surprise you. If I was her, I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't either.
Especially after I heard the WNBA commissioner say that we've got a revenue sharing system worked out where she's going to make $3 million this year. Oh, okay.
But you have to admit, this isn't Ohtani settling for $65 million instead of $70 million when it's three. I mean, $2 million when it's $3 to $5 million, significant.
Yeah, I mean, it is a couple million difference. And in theory, she could do both. That's the other thing. One does not, even the WNBA did not come out yesterday and say she can't do it. Contractually, she can't do it. They know this is a gray area. Because let's be honest, did they ever think one of their players, okay, it's one thing about them going overseas and playing. It's another thing about them playing in a men's league of some kind. I don't think they ever envisioned it. Especially since the WNBA has been around a quarter century and this league's been around less than 10 years.
I'll tell you what, I'm dreaming here a little bit, but if the slim chance that she, A, accepts the offer, and B, is great, oh, how awesome would that be for women's basketball, women's sports, all of, like, if she played in the Big Three, even for just a season, and was awesome.
I'll be honest with you. If she played in the Big Three and she was decent, I think it would be tremendous.
Yeah, I would. I do too.
Like, it's a high risk.
Look,
but
Trent, these are men.
Oh, I know.
Okay, yes. And the other thing is that they're going to go, oh, great, we got to play against whatever the team is. And Caitlin Clark, you don't think they're going to want to crush her? You really think they want her sticking threes in their face? You really think they want her driving by with that little scoop shot that she does on the drive? Really? Well, these are proud professional athletes.
Yes, and just to double down on it, I mean, I've got the rosters up in front of me. I just like looking at this kind of stuff because I'm intrigued of the hypothetical of Caitlin Clark going against Tony Allen, who I think won a Defensive Player of the Year award, right? And he's got his number retired in Memphis. Like, that's Tony Allen.
And I understand she's 22 and they're 37. I get it, but I mean, is she really going to be able to put it on the floor and drive by them? Now, some guys are clearly fat and out of shape, and they're just out there chucking. And but I'm guessing one of the three guys is like, yeah, I got her. Yeah, I got her.
Absolutely.
And I think that I think we all agree that's probably how it would go. I don't think she would be very good. But it's the high risk, high reward. I mean, it would be amazing, and it would do wonders for the sport if she takes it. I don't think she does, by the way. Don't think she does. I'm with you guys.
I don't think she does either. But I would, if I was advising her, I would say, yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. You're going to be number one pick in the draft. Celebrate it. Just have all your momentum go into the WNBA. You know, you have a chance to change that league, make that league mainstream and not just a niche thing. Let's concentrate on that.
But it's a fascinating story. It's $5 million right. Versus what did she make year one? 76 and change?
Well, yeah, when she signs with the Indiana Fever, 76,535. Hey, by year four, she's up to 97,582. As opposed to $500,000 a game in the Big Three League. Right. She'll make more in one game than she'll make in 4 years salary in the WNBA. By a lot, by the way.
I don't know if that says more about the WNBA or Ice Cube.
It says more about Cube. And now I'm fired up because I've got my Cube playlist in front of me. I'm going right to the car after the show, and I'm going to be listening to some Ice Cube. Probably will start out with No Vaseline.
No,
David,
that's his best song.
In case you were wondering.
That song is awesome.
It really is.
All the context behind it, too. I mean, just after leaving the group. Oh.
Don't you think, David? Probably his best song?
Probably.
The Diamond District Bonus Hour, Miller and Moulton. If you missed any of the show, download it. We had Vern Lundquist on today. It was pretty good.
For an hour?
Right.
Right. 7 o'clock hour. Just download the whole thing. And then if you're excited about opening day of baseball, Kyle Seeloff and Andy Freed, play-by-play voices of the Marlins and Rays, respectively. We had them on as well. Sweet 16 tonight. This is awesome. This is awesome. Who needs football? Well, okay. Maybe soon. 22 minutes till the top of the hour. 16 until we're out of here. The Diamond District Bonus Hour on Miller and Moulton. Thanks so much for being with us. MillerandMoulton.com. Miller_Moulton on X. Missed any part of today's show? Vern Lundquist, an interview, a lengthy one. We broke it up and played it throughout the entire 7 o'clock hour. Kyle Seeloff and Andy Freed, the play-by-play voices of the Marlins and the Rays. So, got a lot going on. Previewed the Sweet 16, had some fun. I don't know. Scale of 1 to 10, you know, they do that Family Feud. You ever watch Family Feud? They wear all these questions, okay? One of the questions yesterday, Mark, was, you're a woman, okay? And on a scale of 1 to 10, what kind of a catch are you?
Wow.
Number one answer was 8.
That's what I'd have gone with.
So they don't even think of themselves as a 10.
They did that with men. Men would say they were a 9.
We surveyed 100 men. Top 5 answers on the board.
I love the feud.
I do too.
Love the feud.
I do too. I love the whole fake, you know, they coach them up, you know.
Good answer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then, you know, try to steal, and they're all say X's on the other side. Come on.
My cousins were on that show, so they kind of they were on that show in 2017. So they came back and told us all the ins and outs.
I would love next time we get Joe Buck on. Okay, we got. Did you see when Buck was on the feud?
He did the celebrity thing, right?
Did the celebrity feud. It's him, his wife, his two daughters, and I think his sister. So it's Joe and the four women of his family. And it comes down to final answer. And if they get it, they win. And if they don't get it, they're going to lose. And the women all come up with the answer. And they all say the same thing. Yes, you know. And he goes, okay, got it. And he blurts out his own answer. And he was wrong. And the answer was what the women wanted.
What an idiot.
Yes.
I mean, on so many different fronts.
On the feud. Right.
So then he didn't even get to play Fast Money.
Well, then he gets the abuse for the rest of his life. If you go with their answer and it's wrong, you can abuse them forever.
Exactly.
You have, that is a miscalculation by someone who's made very wise calculations throughout the majority of his life.
Right.
That's a mistake.
Married well and the whole deal and right. Yeah, idiot, moron. I mean, trust me, it's come up in the booth. Okay, we'll be debating something, and I'll just say, come up with your own answer. And he just kind of glares at me. I go, done it before.
It's time for someone to take back this segment, if for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
Salvation Army was officially formed today in 1885.
That's a good thing.
WGN begins radio transmissions today in 1924. Today in 1963, the AFL's New York Titans become the New York Jets. The last original Ed Sullivan show aired on CBS today in 1971. Two things happened in 72. Elvis records Burning Love. It's his last top 10 hit. And
what
Wilt,
year?
72.
Okay.
And Wilt plays his last pro game today in 72. And in 79, we had a meltdown at Three Mile Island.
Oh, by the way.
Oh, by the way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Ken Howard would have celebrated his 80th birthday today. That's the coach from The White Shadow. Oh,
great show. What a cult following. I think it was only on like 3 years.
Yeah.
It's tremendous.
Rick Barry is 80. Reba McEntire, 69. Gymnast Barton.
Her face, by the way, is like 7. And I love Reba, too. I've paid to see Reba, but she had a little work done recently. Just saying.
Gymnast Bart Connor is 66. Actor Vince Vaughn, 54. Keith Tkachuk is 52. Luke Walton, 44. And Lady Gaga is 38. What did I miss, David?
A few things today, actually. So, first off, in 84, it was 40 years ago today. The Mayflower Vans.
Oh, okay.
Colts moved from Baltimore to Indianapolis today in 84. Today in 92, Duke, Kentucky. Leitner hit the shot. 104-103 in overtime.
Vern Lundquist on the call.
Yeah, with Len Elmore. That's, to me, that's the best college basketball game of all time. The people that were in it, what was at stake, Duke, the defending champions, Kentucky rising from the proverbial ashes under Patino. I mean, just the studs that were in that game. Mashburn for Kentucky, Leitner, Hurley, Grant Hill for Duke, Krzyzewski and Patino as coaches. All right, I think the losing team shot 59% from the field. It was just such high level. And on a totally different note, can you believe it's been 18 years ago today? And Mark, you and I were working for the local station. The Duke lacrosse team got suspended today. And that whole thing began to play out.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd had the same take now that I did then. I don't know if I'd be as eager to make the same
right
case that I did, the way times have changed, because I was convinced that they had done nothing wrong the next day and went on air and said so.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, you got it right. Nowadays, you could get it right and still lose your career.
That's what I'm saying.
Trent's laughing. No, Trent, this is your career. Okay, you want to do this for another 40 years. Mark and I already can – we have the finish line drawn, okay, on the blackboard. We know where we're trying to get to. You got 40 more years. Good
Trust
luck.
Me, there are things that you guys say that I write down and, you know, little tidbits, advice. That's going good. In there for sure.
Yeah, good luck. You could be right and still lose your career. Oh, yeah.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
We go to Naples for the good, where every year, Tom Schoenick celebrates his birthday with a bike ride. He determines how long he rides the bike by how old he is. You know, at 60, he did 60 miles. At 70, he did 70 miles. At 80, he did 80 miles. Leading up to his 90th birthday, he was sick, he said, for about 6 months. He couldn't eat. Then he thought about the bike ride and said, I got a little pep in my step. And he headed out for his birthday tradition and did a 90-mile bike ride on his 90th birthday. Happy birthday, Tom, and congratulations for being a better man than I am. For the bad, we go to Jacksonville, where Matthew Sims said his dog Baby was playing in the yard, doing a little digging. Dug up a bomb, a decade-old military bomb. It was next to his garage. He called the Jacksonville police and the bomb squad responded to examine the discovery. It was an unexploded piece of military ordnance, but it was likely buried for decades. Fortunately, it didn't blow up. And finally, the ugly. We go to England, where a woman rescued what she believed to be an abandoned baby hedgehog and took it to the local animal hospital, where veterinarians told her she had actually rescued a pom-pom from a beanie hat. You can't make this up.
How can you even mistake those two things?
She thought she had a very small hedgehog. It was a pom-pom.
Wouldn't you be able to pick it up and like...
and stroke it and pet it?
The weight of it, and it's not warm. Like, it's not a living thing. How do you even... That's alarming.
That is the good, the bad, and the ugly on today, March the 28th, 2024.
I think there needed to be a drug test involved in that story at some point, don't you?
Absolutely.
What does this look like to you? Looks like a pom-pom. Really? What is it? It's a hedgehog. Drug test her. Just over on the side here.
Don't let her drive home.
No. 14 games in the NHL tonight. 14. Wow.
Well, there was only two last night.
Panthers are home for the Islanders. And the Bruins are not playing tonight. So this is one of the two games that the Panthers have in hand on the Bruins, and they're 2 points behind them for first. So Lightning also not playing tonight. So Panthers hosting the Islanders. There's a bunch of key games. Rangers are in Colorado, take on the Avs.
Philly's in a, I wouldn't say a must win, but they've got a really light schedule here coming up. Philly's at Montreal, a game they need to win to keep on keeping on in that division while the Caps are at Toronto.
This looks like it could be a tough spot for your guys' Wings. They're in Carolina to face the Canes. And the Canes are trying to chase down the Rangers, who are 3 points ahead of them. And I believe the Rangers have a game in hand also on the Wings.
Yeah, good luck,
or
boys.
The Canes, excuse me.
Yeah, the Red Wings are in deep trouble.
They're cooked.
A lot of great matchups, though, tonight in the NHL. I mean, Dallas is at Vancouver. They're separated by a point. Kings are in Edmonton. They're separated by three. Las Vegas is at Winnipeg. That could be a first-round playoff series. I mean, honestly, it's a great...
Rangers in Colorado. Night. That's right. Stanley Cup preview, possibly. I know you don't think so, but come on. They've got the best damn record in the East right now, and you don't think they can get out of the first round. You are a pessimist with your Rangers right now.
No. Well, I am worried if they get the Lightning. All right. If they finish with the number one overall seed, they'll destroy the Flyers or the Caps or the Wings. I got no problem with that. The Canes are a tough matchup for them. Okay. I think the Rangers have a little more scoring than the Canes and better goaltending at the end. But the Canes are always been a tough matchup for them. All right. Both sides are brutal. I think the top end of the East is even tougher than the top end of the West. I could be biased, but I do.
I disagree, but I think we're splitting hairs, David. I really do. I mean,
isn't it like the top seven teams in the NHL are separated by 3 points?
I believe you're right.
If you take both conferences into account, top seven teams separated by 3 points right now with about 10 games left.
Exactly. The Rangers have 100. Carolina has 97, and they're seventh overall. Unbelievable.
NBA, there's only two games tonight. Boston's in Atlanta. Remember, they've been there partying since they blew that 30-point lead on Monday. Okay, do you think the Celtics are partied out, or do you think they've sobered up in time for the Hawks game tonight?
What's the line?
Boston by 16.5.
I would take Atlanta to cover.
Milwaukee's in New Orleans. That's the only other game.
Anybody predicting any upsets tonight in the Sweet 16? We've got Connecticut and San Diego State. I like Illinois as a slight dog against Iowa State. That game's the smallest margin, 1.5. North Carolina's a 4.5-point favorite over Alabama. Arizona, 7.5 over Clemson.
If you take out the basically the pick'em between Illinois and Iowa State, I think the best chance is Alabama to beat UNC. But we'll see. I don't think that's going to happen. I just think matchups-wise – I mean, Bama's going to run with them, so you never
Alabama,
know.
Alabama, North Carolina, an over-under of 173.5 and a point spread of 4.5. If you do the math, Vegas is basically telling you, give or take a half a point, 89-84 Carolina.
Track meet.
That would be fun.
Would be highly entertaining.
That would be worth staying up for. You'd probably have to stay up till about midnight to see the completion of it.
For sure.
Do we want to take it? Take the over? And just root for chaos from the jump? Get running?
I would lay the points before I would bet the over-under. 173.5 on a college game. Man. Which is just about the nightly Indiana Pacers over-under with the way they've been scoring points this year. But Major League Baseball. We've got, we were supposed to have 15 games. We got 13 because the Brewers, Mets, and Braves and Phillies have been postponed. First games in Baltimore. Boy, it's been an eventful week in Baltimore, wouldn't you say?
Man, oh, man.
The Bridge, Orioles ownership changed hands yesterday, opening day today, Angels and Orioles, and then a bunch of 4 o'clock games, including in Miami and St. Pete. Marlins hosting the Pirates, Rays hosting the Jays. Got a lot of Twins fans in Southwest Florida. They're in Kansas City at 4 o'clock. Yankees Astros at 4 o'clock. Giants Padres, Cardinals Dodgers, Nats Reds, your guys Tigers against the White Sox. 4 o'clock, man. It's go time.
Yes, it is. Opening day of baseball is here, the Sweet 16 tonight. A tremendous sports day and sports weekend ahead.
Pat Kerwin and Bob Harrig, he's written a book about Tiger. They're both going to join us tomorrow. Have a great Thursday, Miller and Moulton.